Welcome to the Small Business Big Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Zarikor. This podcast is loaded with raw stories from real people running successful businesses with heart to encourage and inspire you along your journey. We will focus on the heart behind the business, aka you, the business owner, by sharing their heart, their story, and the passion behind why they started in the first place. As a business owner myself, I'm here to remind you that in the midst of the organized chaos that comes with running a business, good things do indeed happen to good people. My goal and heart for this podcast is that you will walk away with lessons learned from people who have walked a similar journey for the inspiration to keep going. Chase that big, scary dream. Are you ready? Let's do this. Oh, it's so good to be back. But before we get started today, I have a question for you. Do you remember that one teacher or coach growing up that just absolutely shaped your life in a positive way? You know, the one that poured into you and made you feel safe and seen and built up your confidence? Well, let's get ready because my guest this week is going to give you an even deeper appreciation for those voices in your life. I am so excited to introduce you to my dear friend, Shay Haddo. Shay is the founder of Alpha Girl Soccer Academy and host of the Alpha Girl Soccer Podcast, and author of the best-selling book, She the Confident. When I first met Shay, I heard her story through the branding process, and I knew immediately, even before we had the podcast, that I needed to get her story somewhere documented. This girl eats, sleeps, and breathes confidence, strategy, mindset, and I know you're going to be inspired by her work and her words. On today's episode, we discuss Shay's work with young female athletes and when she discovered her deeper why behind her coaching, and how she launched that into her booming business that she's experienced today. She shares how she's learning to overcome her own personal fear and why starting before you're ready is the secret to success. We chat about how she breaks free of her comfort zones and how overthinking can really hold us back. We even get into the value of mentorship and how those right voices that pour into you can truly make or break your business. Y'all, I left this conversation feeling so encouraged and excited for what's coming next for me and my business. So I truly cannot wait to hear what this does for you and your confidence as well. Are you ready to get into it? Because I am so excited to introduce you to the incredible Shay Haddo. Thank you, Shay, so much for being on our podcast, The Small Business Big Heart. And we work together with your branding. And so I'm so excited to just have a conversation about just your journey through releasing your brand. You're speaking, you have a book, you have a podcast, you're doing so many things. And your audience is so interesting. And I'm so excited just to have this conversation. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was honored when I got your email to ask me to be on the show. So I'm looking forward to it as well.
Amazing. Well, how has your podcast launch been? Because after we did your branding, you were launching your podcast. So how's that going?
It's going really well. I honestly, like, out of everything that I do, I think my podcast, it's like my baby. Mm. It's something that, like, I know helps so many girls and so many coaches and parents too. So it's going amazing. And thanks to you, it actually, like, looks good now and my branding looks good.
That's amazing. Well, you said already talking a little bit about, like, your athletes and moms and what type of business are you running right now? I already know the answer, yeah. But I get to ask.
Yeah. So right now I am a confidence and mindset coach for youth female athletes. So primarily I work with youth athletes ages like 10 through 16 in my group coaching programs, but I also work with, you know, club teams, mostly soccer, but other sports as well. And also I work with college teams too. So really just working on their confidence or mindset, because it's something I struggled with so deeply, you know, as a 14, 15-year-old girl. So I saw kind of a really big need and a really big gap that wasn't being filled. So that's why I do what I do, and kind of, you know, a very quick snippet of what I do.
I feel like too, in the landscape of athletes or just in just that age group always gets left out. Like, and when you think of clothing stores, you're either shopping too young or too old. Like, there's really no one's really serving that gap. So I think it's so unique that your heart was immediately drawn to that age group.
Yeah. And like, it's so weird because like you think of teenagers, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, they're so difficult. And yes, they can be difficult, some more than others. But like you said, it's an age that doesn't get served as often, but it's like the most critical age, right? It's really where a person, you know, can go down one path or the other. And it's such a critical time in a girl's life and a boy's life too. It's really cool to see the transformations and be able to impact girls at such an important time in their life.
Absolutely. And you said that was an age that really struck you because you at that age went through some like confidence and self-doubt. Can you like elaborate on that or share a little bit about your journey?
Yeah. So I grew up playing soccer and basketball. I just was obsessed with sports, still am. But when I was 12 in a soccer game, I actually tore my ACL. So that's really, really young to have that kind of big injury, right? So I tore my ACL. It took me maybe 10 months to really get back on the field. But when I stepped back on the field, I just felt so behind. I was constantly afraid of getting hurt again because, you know, that was one of the toughest experiences I've ever gone through. And so from that moment on, my whole athletic career was really a confidence roller coaster. And along with that, from a very young age, like I had anxiety and in my middle school and high school years, it was really bad as well. So a mix of anxiety and my parents didn't know it was anxiety. And like, you know, that mixed with a lack of confidence in my sport, it was really difficult. Like I didn't have any mentors or coaches to help me through kind of the mental side of it. So, you know, in college, it definitely got better. My confidence improved. I learned new techniques and stuff to help my confidence and help my play. But still, all the way up until my senior year, it was still kind of a roller coaster battling with self-doubt and I guess an imposter syndrome in a way, right? That's kind of my confidence journey, I guess I would call it.
Yeah. So how did you come out of that? And like now, because now you're a confidence coach and you're teaching this. So what was your journey from that season of like self-doubt into really feeling confident and like owning who Shay is?
Right. I mean, I never in a million years would have thought that I would be doing what I'm doing. So like after college, my goal was to get into the like athletic administration side of things because I was doing a bunch of internships at Utah State where I went to school. So that was really my goal and kind of the path I wanted to take. And so I was doing that at Utah State, but when I moved to Sacramento, I couldn't find a job doing that. I was doing kind of a million different things. I was coaching for a club team here of, I think at the time they were 12 years old. So I got into coaching a little bit. And then I got into private coaching and made that my full-time gig. And as I was doing that, I was like, wow, a lot of these girls are really struggling with their confidence, just like I was. I don't think I realized it until I started coaching them so deeply. And so I realized that they were struggling with it. I realized that there was no one, I mean, there's a couple people helping with it, but there's really like not, you know, their club coaches aren't helping with this. You know, their private trainers aren't helping them with this. And so, like I said before, it was kind of like this gap that I saw needed to be filled because parents will come to me and they're like, oh, you know, my daughter is training so hard and she's doing everything, but like, there's still something holding her back. And I'm like, yeah, it's her mental game. It's her mindset. It's her confidence. So it's really kind of like this, whether you want to call it the secret sauce or like the missing link really is kind of the mental side of the game, which is starting to gain more traction. It's awesome to kind of see them like click on and be like, oh, that's the problem.
And for a parent too, you're just excited that, oh, wow. Okay. I didn't even see that was the issue. And to be able to like start working towards what success looks like for their daughter and for them. And that's so great. So did you find your confidence by coaching confidence then?
I would say yes. But also I think I really found my confidence towards the end of my college career, and not just confidence on the field, but just confidence as a person. I consider myself like a pretty weird person. And at the college age, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to conform to what I should look like, what I should dress like, how I should act, and just like be myself. And one of my favorite quotes, I think I found this in college, but it's a quote that I still live by today. And I think it's by Michael Jackson, but I could be wrong. And the quote is like, it's better to fail in originality than to succeed in imitation. So that's kind of how I, like, one of my values, I guess, is just being authentic. And so I think I found that in college. But as I coach, I gain it even more, because as I'm learning about how to be a better coach, I learn about things that I can also apply to myself. So it's like, as I'm coaching, I'm also learning.
And I know that I've heard a lot of successful entrepreneurs, successful athletes, they not only have mentors, but they also are a mentee or are a mentor. Sorry, let me start that, try that again. Successful entrepreneurs and athletes have mentors, and then they are also a mentor. And so they are the mentee and they have mentees. Like, there's, you can learn so much more from people above you and from below you in that journey. Cause like you said, like with coaching, you're probably learning more after you say something. You're like, wait, that's probably pretty good. I should probably write that down.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, like sometimes the things that I post or the things that I talk about are the things that I also need to hear at the same time.
You're creating the inspiration as it comes naturally, which I think is huge in just the way you authentically show up for your community. And so I know a big part of this too was you have a book that's out. Do you want to share anything about that?
Yes, it's called She the Confident, and I released the paperback last year. So I'm like, oh my gosh, it's its first birthday. And so really the book is it's really short and really easy to read. And like for a 10 to, I've had college teams buy it as well, but like as early as 10 years old, they read it and they're like, I hate reading, but I actually like this book. And I think it's because it's just so relatable to where they're like, wow, like she's been through the same exact stuff that I'm going through. You know, it's not like this, this super far away person that's writing to them. You know, it's someone that's been through the trenches and it seems like, you know, going with them through it still. But yeah, I mean, I never thought in a million years again that the book would have done as well as it has. When I first wrote it, my intention really was just to create kind of an ebook, put it on Kindle, people can buy the PDF, that kind of thing. And it wouldn't get a whole lot of traction. But it's really, I had actually a friend to push me to do a paperback version. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll try it. Like if it fails, whatever, let's try it. And thank goodness I did, because 95% of the people that buy the book buy the paperback version. And so, you know, everyone, especially kids, like, you know, tangible book, but it's doing amazing. It's actually crazy that I've continued to get more and more sales every month. Like maybe there was a dip in the middle. But like my highest book sales was actually last month.
Wow.
In November. So it's continuing to grow, which I thought maybe it would get a good momentum at the start and then kind of dip off, but it's actually been the opposite. So it's really, really cool to kind of go in there and see how many people are buying books every day.
Man, what an awesome journey, like personally too. That was that one of your big scary dreams that you wanted to do, was release this book?
So it wasn't like it was one of my dreams, but it wasn't one of my dreams until last year. Like early last year, I think it was April, I was like, okay, I want to write a book. Like I am not a writer at all, but I want to write a book just because I think that my message needs to be heard. And I think it's a great way to package together everything and get it out into the world. So In April, I was like, let's write a book. In October, I was like, oh, shoot, I haven't started writing my book. and I wanted to get it done in 2019. So October, I'm like, all right, I better get going. So I was like working hard to get it. I wanted to like get it out before the holidays, which I barely did. I don't think anyone got it by Christmas. But yeah, December 21st. So yeah, that was, I guess, a big 2019 dream that I accomplished. Because yeah, like I said, I never thought I would do that.
Coming back to that, I cannot believe you wrote a book in 2 months, 3 months. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't have it like right on me, but it's like 100 pages. So, and you know what? I just use a lot of my own experience and a lot of my own kind of self-taught learnings, I guess you can say, to write it. And so the hardest part was honestly like thinking of the outline of the structure of like what needs to go in it, what doesn't need to go in it, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's created a really great platform for you to stand upon and be a published author and having a podcast and your speaker and your coach. And I just think that like you're doing all the right things. And like you said, like that it was just taking that first step of doing it. And seeing the momentum of it now, a year later, like who would have thought?
Yeah. And another thing too is, because I think this will help a lot of entrepreneurs, is that when I first started thinking about writing a book, there was a guru who I think I messaged him and he messaged me back. And he was like, no, you're not ready to write a book. Don't do it yet. And he was probably right. I probably, maybe I wasn't ready to write a book, but I didn't let that stop me. I wrote it anyways. And so I'm glad that I didn't listen to this guy who told me, don't write a book yet. You're not at that level yet. Mm. Because I know the book's not perfect. You know, I know if some academic person went and read it, they'd probably like, woof, you know, but I'm not writing for academic people. I'm writing for a teenager. And so it worked.
Yep. And that's such a conversational like writing that needs to happen there. Like you said, like when your readers are saying, I don't usually like to read, but I love this book. It's like, great. That's fantastic. You wrote it right, directly to your audience.
That's all I need is for them to like it.
That's interesting though, that you bring that up, that you message a guru or like someone that you look up to and then they said, don't do it. It's like, watch me do this.
Yeah, it really was. I remember reading it. I was like, what the heck, man? Like, I'm going to show you. So I kind of use that to like fuel me and motivate me to do it anyways.
It's so interesting how you can take like negative talk that comes at you and then positive talk, like, and both of them can either drive you or crumble you. Have you seen totally. That with your athletes and your students?
I mean, yeah, especially with parents. I mean, it's obviously every parent that comes to me is like, doesn't matter what I say, like my daughter doesn't listen to me. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm here. Right. But sometimes the positive from parents, and obviously the negative doesn't help, but sometimes the positive from parents, like the kids know that they're just saying it because they have to say it. They have to be nice because they have to be nice. And it almost kind of does the opposite of what the parent wants it to do. So I've seen that, but I also have seen a lot of players that thrive off a coach that kind of is a little bit tough, right? I was never that player, but I've seen it where some girls are like, yeah, I just use it to motivate me and kind of prove, you know, him or her wrong, which, you know, hey, if you can use that as fuel, might as well.
Yeah. And even how you're saying that you've like seen that in your different athletes, I feel like as a leader in a workspace, in any kind of community setting, like if you're leading people, like knowing what motivates them and how they're motivated is so important. So absolutely. Do you have your girls fill out like a test or something, or do you just trial and error? Like, okay, I made her cry. She's not one of the ones that likes to be pushed like that. Or how do you go about that?
I mean, So when I do like my initial calls, I usually get a really good sense because I ask really tough, deep questions. So I usually get a sense of what a player thrives off of and what they don't. And most of my players, I can think of all but one, to be honest, of those players does well with more positive feedback, positive communication. There's only one that really does well with being a little bit tougher on. Mm. So yeah, I feel like I attract the kind of players how I used to be too. And I was all about the positive feedback. So I think I attract that same kind of player as well.
When you wake up every day, like what isn't like pouring into your heart? What lights your heart on fire to to show up for these girls?
Oh man. Like, for example, yesterday I had a call with a girl who was like, it breaks my heart when there's players, when they're like, hey, my teammates are so mean to me. They're such bullies to me that like, I'm losing my love for the game. And so talking to players like that and realizing how many girls out there are either dealing with anxiety or dealing with bullies or just, you know, dealing with self-doubt and how much they need help. That's really what like lights my fire, because I'm like, if I can just help one, that was the goal with my podcast, is I was like, I don't expect this to be top charts, you know, but if I can go out and help one girl every day, then my podcast is doing its job. So really that's kind of my motivation every day, is to go help one girl, to go change one girl's life.
Mm. One at a time. Yeah. Makes a really big impact, because then her confidence and change in attitude is going to affect her team. And that just like carries throughout. Totally. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's contagious for sure.
I love that. And what made you, I know you said like you were kind of dabbling in coaching and then you got into private coaching. What is that scene like, and how did you kind of find your clientele and your target audience?
Yeah. So when I was like coaching for a club, they really put limits on me as far as how much I could earn, who I could help. They didn't treat females the same way as male coaches. So I got out of there as quickly as possible. And that's when I started my private training business. And it's so crazy because I didn't start it that long ago. It seems like it's been forever, but I mean, it's been probably 3 or 4 years ago that I started that, and I'm already at a drastically different place than when I started. But how like I got clients from that, really, I started with one girl that like, because I didn't know anybody when I moved here. And that's when I started. I didn't know a single person when I moved here, as far as the soccer world goes. So I found like one person, and from there it was like, okay, I'm like, go word of mouth, really, right? Go talk to your teammates, go talk to your teammates. And I was like, okay, like, I think I can make this like a full-time thing if I put my whole heart into it. Cause at the time I was working like 4 other jobs. So I wasn't able to dedicate my time to, number one, actually helping the kids, and number two, finding the kids. Right. So once I, like the first probably 6 months to a year was all word of mouth, me going to tournaments and handing out flyers and me giving away free sessions and me running free clinics and free camps and like that kind of stuff. And once I started getting momentum that way, it was really like a lot of, you know, social media and getting connected with local organizations and local clubs and stuff like that. And people who had influence over kids was kind of a big way that I kind of grew that part of the business.
Yeah. And what's so interesting about your business is because of the age group that you're going after, you almost have to target market towards parents, because they're signing the check and allowing you to pay your mortgage. And right. Then like also getting the girls on board and your content on social medias. And that was, I know when we went through your branding, it was like, how much do we relate to the actual customer that we're serving? And then how much do we get like the marketing towards the parents? It was like that.
Right.
Interesting.
And I feel like, yeah, I feel like it took me a while, because I was like, well, I feel weird talking to the parents, but I'm like, if you market to kids, which I did, it was, you know, nothing happened, crickets, right? Because kids can go to their parents and say, hey, mom, check out this. But it's like, that doesn't work very often, right? So yeah, it took me a while to figure out, okay, who am I, like, I know who I'm helping, but who do I actually market to? And I think I found like a pretty good, like you said, like a pretty good marriage of the two, and really like, and using different platforms, different ways and stuff like that.
Yeah. And have you seen like a disconnect or a pull of, as you're creating content or as you're doing your podcast or showing up on social media, like any kind of tug there between who you're talking to, or has it felt pretty seamless?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, if I'm on Facebook, which I have like a really good Facebook group of parents, that is directed right at parents. Right. But anything else like Instagram, actually, to be honest, the only time I directly talk to players, and it's not all the time, is on Instagram. But usually if my videos or my podcast, my videos and my podcast are speaking directly to the player, but the text and the copy around that is, hey, this is for your daughter or if you're a parent. So there's kind of a mix of both there. And then like Twitter, for example, Twitter is where I go to connect with coaches. So like every platform has kind of its own target audience. So Twitter, I'm talking to coaches. Instagram, I'm talking to players. Facebook, I'm talking to parents.
Interesting. And you never think about that, like when you're told by, I don't know who's telling people these things, like social media gurus or managers, that they're like, you have to show up on your platforms and show up authentically and well and often and be real. And it's like, that's a lot. But when you can almost take off your one hat, put on your other hat and know who you're talking to, when and where you're showing up, I feel like it almost takes some of the stress out of it. Does it not?
Right. Yeah. I mean, because if I go on Twitter and I'm writing a tweet specifically to players, I'm not going to hear anything because there's not that many players on there. But if I just tweak it a little bit to where I'm like, hey, coaches, if you're player blank, right, then you get a lot different response. So yes, it's like, you know, it's hard to be, and I'm not everywhere. Like those are my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are my three. But it's, I guess, makes it a little bit more fresh than like having to kind of have the exact same message for all three.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you go about planning for that in advance?
I don't really anymore. I used to.
Thank you for like, being real.
Yeah. So like, for example, I have two Instagrams, right? So I have my personal / business, like my personal brand. And then I have like my Alpha Girl Confidence, which used to be my training one. So I don't really touch the Alpha Girl Confidence page. I have like a media manager that does all of that. And that's very planned out and very curated and very brand. But what I found works better is like, for me, if I plan things out, it's not always relevant to what's going on for them in the moment. Right. Like if I would have planned way ahead on this COVID stuff and planned like nothing was wrong, it wouldn't have hit. Right. So that's what I found, is that a lot of times for me, my content does best, minus my podcast. I plan that a little bit more, but my content does best when it's like kind of in the moment in a sense, and relevant to like what they're going through at this exact time, you know. So it's off season right now, it's finals week right now. So creating content around that, and that's more in the moment, which, you know, it takes it gets stressful. Posting on social media, I'm not going to lie, I don't like it. Like if I could not touch social media, that would be awesome. But I have to show up, and I need to show up. So I will show up.
Yes. I think every business owner would agree with you in that sense. When you meet someone in real life and they can say, oh my gosh, I feel like I know you already. It's like, yes. Every time it's like affirmation of like, you're doing the right things, like keep going.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I would love to hear more about just like the confidence side of your business and just how your coaching method, because I know that you're targeted to serve 12 to 14 year old girls and athletes. But I think that a lot of what you're teaching is going to relate to our entrepreneurs that are listening. And so do you have any advice, or maybe can you walk through your process through how to build confidence? Are you ready to give your business the branding it deserves? You know, the kind that your customers just swoon over and can't get enough of? Our team of heartfelt, creative entrepreneurs are ready to bring your branding dreams to life. If your heart's in it, so is ours. If you're getting ready to hire for branding, head over to copperheartcreative.com, hit hire us, and it will lead you to our inquiry form. We cannot wait to hear from you. Do you have any advice, or maybe can you walk through your process through how to build confidence?
Yeah. I mean, so the first thing, and this is relevant for entrepreneurship and the athletes and my journey in entrepreneurship, was the very first thing that I teach and the very first thing that I needed to overcome was my fear of failure and getting out of my comfort zone. Right. So like getting on a call back when I first started was, oh my gosh, I hated it. You know, asking for the sale, I hated it. But if I wouldn't have got out of that comfort zone and been told no a million times, then I wouldn't be where I'm at now. So with my players, the very first piece that we go over, it's all about the mindset. Like that's kind of the foundation, right? So for kids, and for everybody, but it's like, you know, the growth mindset versus fixed mindset, that, and then like changing the perception of failure. So failure, right? Fear of failure is what holds most people back from doing what they want to do. I don't care how old you are, what color you are, where you live. It's what holds people back, right? And so I try to really get them to perceive failure in a way that's going to help them grow as opposed to hinder their growth. Because once they get that mindset piece down, that's really where things start to open up for them, right? And same for entrepreneurship. I'm sure you have a lot of your own stories with like, you know, getting over failure and learning how to navigate it and all that kind of stuff. So I can attribute my ability to not be afraid to fail as to my growth, right? Like if I would have been afraid to fail, I would have never written the book. I would have never started the podcast. I would have never done any of that stuff. So that's really like the first big thing. And then from there, as far as just like the girls I help and the confidence stuff, is like using techniques like visualization and breathing exercises. And especially kids that have anxiety, that's like a huge, huge thing. Meditation, to where like they're able to actually do these practices and learn these skills that'll help them to perform better on the field, but also feel more confident while doing it. And then a really big piece of what I do also is like I call like high performance habits, or like kind of the life skills things that you should learn as a kid, but a lot of kids don't learn it until they're our age. And then we're like, okay, how do we learn how to set actual goals? And how do we form habits? How do we get rid of habits? Kind of like, and the leadership piece, right? So there's kind of a lot of moving pieces as far as that goes. But really, it's like instilling these habits in them early on, so that when they go to college, so that when they interview for jobs, so that when they start their own business, so that when they become a doctor, whatever it is, that they already have these habits put in place and they don't have to like learn it too late in life. Because the later you learn it, it becomes a little bit harder.
The right? Clunkier, so kind of, it is.
Yeah, exactly. Because our brains are more like fixed and rigid and stuff like that. So that's kind of the process that I take my girls through. But like, it's crazy because everything that I take them through could also help entrepreneurs and could also help adults, whether they have a 9-to-5 or whatever. It's really just like the, you know, skills to be successful and live like a fulfilling life.
Mm. Absolutely. And I think that's why I'm like, oh my gosh, everything you were saying, like the fear of failure and the habits and what success looks like and bullies and like all of these things. I'm like, this is all things that I, as a very much adult, am struggling with, like always. Like once you feel like you accomplish one, then the other one starts to creep in, and it's a constant like cycle. So I guess, like, how do you define success for your girls?
I don't define it for them. They define it for themselves, I'll say. You know, because success means something totally different to me than it does for them, right? But I guess what I would really want for them, and what would you know, kind of define success as to their journey with me, would really just them being 100% okay with being who they are, and not having to worry about what other people think of them, and really just believing in themselves and just not letting any of the outside stuff, or not letting their own, you know, negative mindset stop them. So I know that's kind of broad, but really just the ability to believe in yourself.
Yeah, that's the most impactful thing. I wish I would have learned that at that age.
I know, me too.
Shay, where were you at when I was 14?
I know, right? I wish I would have had someone like me as well. It would have made our lives a lot easier, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you always, in your adult life, you always remember that one teacher, yeah, or that one coach that like went out of their way to either help you learn in the way that works best for you, or to help you understand or believe in yourself, like you're saying. And like, that's a lifelong thing that you can carry, like they are going to carry in their hearts, because they now believe in themselves and they remember who taught them that.
And absolutely.
Poured into
them. Yeah, and I hope to be that for a lot of players.
Mm. And with the trajectory that you already are on, I'm sure that is not going to be an issue.
Well, thank you. That's, I appreciate fantastic. That.
I love it. So a little bit of like the confidence, how it's coming into your business, like how are you leading with confidence as you're now, like you said, you were scared of like asking for the sale, and like, how are you leading with confidence in your business and everything you do?
I would say the biggest thing is that and it's not my mantra, but like, done is better than perfect, right? Start before you're ready. So those kind of things. So I like really pride myself, and I'm really proud of myself for doing things that aren't perfect, but that like I get them out there, which I've already talked about, like with my podcast and my book. But like the confidence to just like take something and run with it and put it out there, instead of like, oh, is so-and-so gonna like it? Is someone gonna talk bad about me for doing this? And of course I care what people think, but I care what I think of myself more. And that's what I try to teach my girls. Like, it's okay to care what people think of you, as long as you care more about what you think of yourself, right? And so I think that's the biggest way that I lead with confidence, is by just going for it, taking action, and, you know, being okay with not having everything be perfect all the time, because it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just so interesting too, because it's like, again, everything you're saying, I'm like, this is so relevant for grown-ups and adults. So do you see a lot of parents coming back and be like, hey, do you help like adults too?
You know, I don't really, because I don't think a lot of the parents, like the parents don't join our calls. So they see like the impact and the changes in their daughter. And I have had a couple of parents be like, hey, can we sign up for this thing? You know, I'm like, okay. I honestly don't really want to work with parents.
Yeah.
I like working with players, but in my Facebook group, that's where I am like specifically teaching parents, talking to parents, that kind of thing. So I do that. And I don't know if they take the same things and be like, oh, my daughter needs help with this, but I can actually use this just as much, right? Because I don't think I haven't necessarily said, hey, this can help you too. Maybe I have with a few things. But, you know, I think there's a lot of parents that'll read the book with their daughter, that'll listen to the podcast with their daughter. And so I hope that they make the changes with their daughter as well.
Yeah, it's like a family thing. Like, everyone, come on, we're all going to be confident and get this together. Yeah, that's absolutely great. Have you seen, because I know a lot with like teachers and even just in any kind of leadership position in the community, of just, it really does rely on the parents of how they're pouring in after you're done with your call and what that looks like in their day to day. Because you're only talking to them, how much are you talking to them a week?
Twice a week.
So are you training the parents as well of like, here's how to handle tough situations, here's how to keep boosting their confidence, and like, how does that work in the relationship of parent to daughter after they're done talking with you or working with you?
Yeah. So that's like where that kind of stuff is like all in my Facebook group, right? So it's me like, how to help your daughter build confidence, how to help your daughter after she messes up, you know, how to kind of deal with, and I'm not an expert on bullies by any means, but just kind of like how you can really help your daughter to succeed. So I have done some really good webinars pretty recently that's all about that. And I have some audio trainings for parents, because it really does take a village. If I am telling them, hey, do all of this stuff, and their parent is either telling them to do something opposite, or their parent is totally like knocking them down, it's probably not going to be effective, right? Same thing with the coaches. So if parents and me are on board, but coaches aren't on board, it can still work, but it just makes it a lot harder. So that's why I have to, like, directly I'm working with the players, but also in an indirect way, I'm working with the parents and coaches to kind of get them introduced to how I do things, so that they kind of follow along and we're all on the same page.
Yeah. It's just such an interesting business model for, again, like, not necessarily how you said, like, you're not defining success, but for them to have success in their own minds, it takes, again, that village. And again, entrepreneurship, it takes a village. Like, right. All of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the same stuff.
Absolutely. So are you planning on doing anything big in the future with all of this? I mean, I feel like you're just doing so many things of like pouring out content and relevant, helpful tips for girls, parents, coaches. What's your vision for the future?
So I've learned something about myself, and it's really hard for me to plan more than a year ahead of time because I change so much so fast. But one really cool thing that I'm doing, and I'm actually starting it this week, so I don't know when this is going to air, but by the time this airs, it'll be live. So the other week is actually last week on Thursday, and this is a test to how quickly I work when I get excited about something. So on Thursday, I was listening to a podcast by one of my mentors, Chris Harder. And so he was talking about, you know, trends to sell in 2021. And I was like, oh, wow, this is something I can do. It was like a tech subscription service. So it's like, I'm like, okay, like I could see this working. I feel like girls would eat that up if I text them a couple times a week or every day and I post a confidence tip or a motivation tip or something like that. So I'm like super excited about it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go into my Facebook group and I'm going to ask people if this is something they would want. If they say no, all right, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to make something people don't want. That's another lesson I learned is don't make something that people don't want. So I asked them and it was like, yes, 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 yes. Like my daughter would love that. Like 70 comments of like, yes, please do this. Mm-hmm. So that was on Friday that I posted that. Wow. That was really fast. Yeah. So as I was like, okay, I'm going to build this. And I worked my butt off on Friday, yesterday and today. And I am like ready to launch it. I've already got a month worth of content. I figured all the tech out. I got all the checkout pages. And so I think it's going to be really cool. I'm going to post a confidence tip every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, where they get a text, they watch like a 1 or 2 minute video. And the videos that I've produced so far, I'm like, dang, this is like really good. Like I should probably charge more for this, but like, this is my way. Cause like my group coaching program is higher ticket. Like not a lot of people can invest that much money in my group coaching program. So this is my way, in addition to like my book, to like help people on a deeper level, but a much, much bigger scale. So that's kind of like my vision, is to have like my high ticket, high touch, high quality group that require a lot of time from me. But then also have something where I can help the masses, because I don't want to exclude people that can't afford my services. And I think this is a great way to do it. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm excited about it.
That's amazing. You were the fastest, like, and this is now like an athlete pun, but it's like you pivot and move so fast. You're so agile that I think that it's something that if you would have sat here and thought about that, like, should I do this? I don't know. You probably would have talked yourself out of it, right?
Probably. Yeah. And I mean, it's obviously, you know, filming the videos, I mean, it takes time, right? But if I have all my systems put in place and everything streamlined, then like this has the ability, I think, to make a really, really big impact. And I have like, my goal is like, thousands, I want to be able to subscribe to these.
That's fantastic. And with that too, how fast you move through the idea, from idea to research to implementing to launching. Advice for entrepreneurs that are stuck in either phase one or phase two and never get out of that?
I mean, I would say like as soon as you have an idea, like don't sit on it for too long. Like get feedback as fast as you can. I think that was like one of the biggest lessons I learned a couple of years ago. I made a course and I never got any feedback on it, and it totally flopped, right? I had like 3 people buy it, and it's because I didn't ask people if they wanted it. But like once you have an idea, ask for feedback ASAP. People say yes, get it out there as fast as you can, and done is better than perfect. They can get better as it goes. Like I'm sure my videos will get better as they go. Like I'm sure like things will be more streamlined, but like it doesn't have to be perfect before I like get it started. Because the things that the foundational things are put in place. So I'm ready.
Yeah. And you have that, you've already tackled your fear of failure. You've already built and done the work for confidence. You put your systems in place. You know your brand. You know who you are and who you're serving. Like, it makes those decisions so much easier when you're already aligned with your mission.
Right. And I think a lot of people skip that part. I think a lot of people skip the who am I and who do I help on like a deep, deep level. And that's when it gets kind of like muddy.
Yeah. Was that, I know we did a lot of that when you went through our branding process, but was that, did you feel any resistance against that? Or was it difficult to dig down and find those really deep meanings of what you're doing?
I think it would have been had I not have gone through Brand Builders. Right. I think they were instrumental in like getting all that foundational stuff in. That's like not necessarily fun. That it's like, I don't want to do that. But like you need to do it. It's not the sexy stuff. It's kind of the boring stuff that requires a little bit of thought before you can go out and do the sexy stuff, I guess.
So true. Cause building courses and launching podcasts and revamping your branding, like, yeah, that's sexy and fun and exciting and it fills you with joy. But like the only reason you're able to do that is because you did this foundation work. Absolutely.
Absolutely. For sure.
Oh man. And Brand Builders Group is what actually connected us, which is so cool. We've absolutely loved working with them. So shout out to AJ and Rory. Thank you. Thank you for connecting us. That's amazing. Well, do you have any additional advice for entrepreneurs or even parents with kids that are walking through maybe confidence issues personally or with their children?
I mean, I would say for parents with kids, I'll hit that one first is, and I know I'm not a parent, so this is easier for me to say, but like, let your kids mess up, let them fail. I think parents, obviously, I understand you're very protective over kids. You don't want them to be sad or you don't want them to mess up, but like, let them mess up, let them learn from it. Cause I think that like at a very, very young age, when they start to learn like, hey, messing up, it's not the end of the world. And like, they will teach themselves how to do things. Like doing that is going to set your kid up to be a lot more growth oriented than if you never let them fail and you fix everything for them right away. So that would be kind of for parents. And then for entrepreneurs, I feel like I've kind of already said this, but it really comes down to your mindset. And mindset specifically is like always finding ways to get out of your comfort zone. Because if you're in your comfort zone for too long, you're not going to grow. So it's like always finding this new level of discomfort. Seek out that new level of discomfort. Right. And I say, like, you always will be finding a new comfort zone. And if you're doing that, you're going to grow. If you're not, you're going to get bored. You're going to get stuck. And really for me, I started to kind of feel that way recently. Like I felt stuck. And then this new idea, I'm like, oh, like this whole new kind of light, I guess you can say. Just find a new comfort zone and always be seeking that discomfort, which isn't always fun or easy, obviously.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for getting out of your comfort zone and chasing that next to get unstuck?
Yeah. I mean, find something that makes you nervous and do it. So for me, back when I first started, it was like doing podcasts like this, like scared the heck out of me, right? Getting on video scared the heck out of me. Going live scared the heck out of me. But I did it. And now it's like that stuff is doesn't make me nervous anymore, right? So it's like if think about things that you want to do, if it scares you, go do it.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, what am I going to go do next?
I know.
That's why we always say like chasing your big, scary dream. And I've noticed too, once I start talking about it with more people and just talking about it and talking about it, I'm like, wow. And then you start making like slow steps towards that progress because you've been talking about it doesn't feel so scary to even speak it. And then you start doing it and you're like, wait, why was I scared of this before? Cause I'm doing it now. Just like how you're on my podcast. And I even have a podcast. We wouldn't be here if we were in our comfort zones. Cause this wouldn't even exist. And you would never get on a call with me.
And another thing I would say for entrepreneurs, is like, don't wait to like hire a mentor? And I know that's out of your sometimes financial comfort zone a lot, but I hired my first mentor very early on, and thank goodness I did. But I'm still at the point where I, at one time, like I have like three mentors right now that help me with different areas. So like, don't be afraid to hire mentors, because that's kind of your quickest way to growth, in my opinion.
Learning from them and their mistakes. And
yeah, it's kind of like a shortcut.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Absolutely. And too, I feel like I've learned to, even with coaches, like even coaches need coaches, and mm-hmm. entrepreneurs need other entrepreneurs to pour into them, especially if you can find someone in your industry and then someone not. Like, I even have one that specifically speaks in to my marriage or my mm-hmm. fitness goals. Like, there's so many different like ways that mentors can pour into you. You said you have three right now. Like, do you talk with them once a week? Like, what's your mentor relationship, and how have you seen that bloom the most?
Yeah. So I had the one that I hired at the very, very beginning. He had his own soccer training business. So he helped me get that going, but he still helps me to this day. So I've been working with him for like 4 years. And now obviously we talk about different stuff, but so he's, I guess, a lot of like my business and specifically like organization within my business. And then I have a coach or a mentor for like my health. So my strength training, like my fitness, stuff like that. And then I'm in a mastermind. So that's kind of a team of mentors, if you will, you know, 100 other entrepreneurs that are all, you know, going after things, and just surrounding yourself with like people like that is, you know, creating, if you don't have the environment available to you where you are, like go find those people, go put yourself in that kind of environment.
And that can be intimidating too, if you're maybe a new entrepreneur or kind of are still battling that imposter syndrome. Do you have any advice for how to walk into even reaching out and asking for a mentor to someone that you look up to, or joining a mastermind when you're sitting back and saying, who am I to ask this?
I mean, I still feel that way with the mastermind, because I'm the only one in there who works with kids. And a lot of the people in there are helping people to make money. They're in the helping people make money niche, or, you know, helping people start their business niche. And so I a lot of times in masterminds, I feel really out of place, because I help such different people. And I feel like I don't always have a lot to offer those people, because I'm not helping those kind of people. So I definitely still struggle with imposter syndrome and like, you know, what do I have to offer in this space? You know, it just like, I've made some really good connections in there that I probably definitely never would have made. And I think I have a lot more to offer than I initially thought I did, just because I don't specifically help people with that. I think just putting yourself out there, and you'll kind of along the way, trial by fire, you'll kind of learn like, oh, I actually am decent at this, or I can help this person with this. So that's kind of been my experience with imposter syndrome as far as like mentors go.
Mm. And you surprise yourself with how much you know. You're like, wait, did that come from me? Was that my advice?
Right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Someone should write that down.
Yeah.
That's so great. Well, just to wrap this up and kind of sum up all this amazing content that you've shared with us, do you have any final advice that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just go for it. Start before you're ready. That's my one piece of advice. Start before you're ready. If you do that, you'll always, you know, you might flop on your face a few times, but you'll eventually get to where you need to go.
Amen. That's awesome. And you're the living proof of it. So
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And where can our listeners find you? Where can they connect with you online?
Yeah. So on Instagram at Shay Haddo is the best spot, or Twitter at Shay Haddo, or you can just find me on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Shay, for being on here. Your heart for serving others is out of this world. And I'm so glad that we were connected and just got to work together, and just knowing you as a human, I am better for it. So
thank you, Amber.
Hi there, Amber here. If you're loving the show, go find that little subscribe button on your podcast app. This will ensure that you won't miss a single episode. Until next time.